Welcome to episode 106 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. In episode 105, the previous episode, we got as far as the Neuron Doctrine. In 1943, Warren McCulloch and Walter Pitts published a paper based off of the Neuron Doctrine, wherein they described an extremely simplified neuron that could implement a couple of logical functions. Specifically, it could implement the AND function and the OR function. At the time, it was believed that if you could get a machine to do some logical functions, you could create a machine that could think. That turned out not to be the case. Every computer implements simple logical functions, but you have to program it to get it to do what you want it to. The simplified neuron that they described took two inputs, binary inputs, 0 or 1, or if you prefer, false and true. Then, based upon those inputs and the neuron's threshold, the output neuron would either fire or not, producing a 1 or 0. To implement the AND function, the threshold would be set to 2. Each input synapse would have a weight of 1. Thus, it would take both inputs firing in order to reach the threshold and cause the neuron to fire and output true. For the OR function, the threshold was set to 1. Either inputting synapse could fire and cause the output neuron to fire. And if they both fired, it would also produce true. When you are simulating something, it is good to make it as simple as possible. But you have to be careful not to cross the line from simple to simplistic. What's the difference? Well, simple is as pared down as you can possibly get it and still have it function well enough to do what you want it to do. Simplistic means you have pared away something that you need. This simplified neuron had no capacity to learn. The weights, the synaptic weights, were fixed, and there were some logical functions that it could not do. In 1949, Donald Hebb described the Hebb rule, also called Hebbian learning. It's fairly simple. Basically, neurons that play together stay together. If neuron A fires, and it causes neuron B to fire, and the answer is correct, then the next time neuron A fires, the chances of neuron B firing are increased. The synaptic weight is increased. A psychologist named Frank Rosenblatt took the simplified neuron and Hebbian learning and created the perceptron in 1957. This is both an algorithm and a device. Though Rosenblatt had originally planned to build a device, it was first implemented on an IBM 704, still back with vacuum tubes. Eventually, a hardware version of the perceptron was built. It used vacuum tubes and potentiometers driven by electric motors. It had 24 inputs, which were set at random, and then several outputs. At the time, they were working on image recognition, and the device was able to classify simple shapes such as squares, rectangles, triangles, and circles. A potentiometer, by the by, is similar to a rheostat, or a dimmer switch, or a volume knob on some speakers. It is a simple circuit that allows you to adjust the amount of power that it reaches another circuit. Rosenblatt got very excited about his device. He spent a lot of time talking to the press and making a lot of outlandish claims about what it would be capable of doing. He thought that the perceptron and the algorithm would eventually be able to learn anything that could be learned, that it should be able to walk, talk, reproduce, understand and translate languages, and many other tasks. Fed up with Rosenblatt's self-aggrandizement, Marvin Minsky and Seymour Papert published a book called Perceptrons. In that book, they outlined some of the serious limitations that the perceptron algorithm was working under. One of them in particular was that the perceptron could not do the logical XOR function, exclusive OR, meaning that you get a true when one input is true, or the other input is true, but not both of them at the same time. In fact, the perceptron can only handle classifying things that are linearly separable. That is to say, on a two-dimensional graph, you draw a line, and then outputs that are correct are above the line, outputs that are incorrect are below it, or vice versa. A very simple example are positive and negative numbers, separated by the line 0. Unfortunately, the real world isn't always so straightforward. Many of the most interesting functions that you'd want artificial intelligence to implement have curved lines or even discontinuous functions, large peaks and valleys. After the 1969 book was published, interest in the perceptron and neural networks in general dried up. So did most of the funding. It wasn't until the late 80s that research was picked back up. Thanks to Rosenblatt's overinflated claims and that book, an AI winter was ushered in. What's an AI winter? Well, we'll talk about that next time. I'll see you then.